This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
You look at the news and it's massively depressing. It's just the world. I just cry for the world when I look at the news. But my work brings me in contact amazing people like you every day that are doing litter picks or pocket parks or just something small that means something to them and their community. And it's just beautiful to be a part of that.
Welcome back to season two of the Tread Lightly podcast. If you thought season one was just about recycling, hugging trees, think again, because this time we're taking things up a notch, talking about everything from how community shapes our planet to why faith might just have something to say about the environment, and even digging into the quirks of human behaviour.
I think we all realised quite quickly that the environmental conversation is way too big to keep simple. So we're diving in headfirst at the deep end. Buckle in, because this season we're going to get real. Let's go.
Let's do this.
Welcome to today's episode, where we are chatting to the wonderful Lucy Abbott from the Eden Project about the power of community, and specifically talking about the Big Lunch, which is a nationwide initiative which brings people together to celebrate connection, community and friendship.
We'll also explore how the Big Lunch has become a catalyst for positive change, the incredible stories that have emerged from it, and why building strong local networks is more important now than ever. So whether you're passionate about community or just curious to learn more, this episode is absolutely for you. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Tread Lightly podcast, where today we are interviewing and chatting with the lovely Lucy Abbott from the Eden Project Communities. Hello both, how are you?
Hello, very well, thank you.
Hi Lucy, nice to meet you.
Again,
we first met at Green Drinks, but you and Kaylee go back a lot further, don't you?
No, we met at Green Drinks. Yeah,
Green Drinks, but Kaylee has since been to camp.
Was that before camp?
Yeah,
I'm dialing ahead of myself. Let's rewind a little bit. Over to you, Kaylee.
No, so I was going to say, Lucy, tell us a little bit about you and kind of how we did connect, because you've got an amazing job at Eden Project Communities, which I'm not going to lie, I am a little bit envious. So for those of you, for those of listeners that don't know, tell us a little bit about you and your role at Eden.
Thanks, Kaylee. I'd love to. Yes, I feel very, very fortunate to have got this role. Eden Project Communities is Eden's outreach team. So we have a community network developer, which is my role. There's seven of us across the four nations, and we fundamentally support anyone who wants to do something positive in their community. We're kind of the people part of the Eden Project. We focus on communities and building stronger, resilient communities, knowing that the care for the environment will happen because of that.
So did it start from the domes in Cornwall? Is that kind of where it all originated from? And then it's gone out across the UK?
That's right. So the Eden Project started 20 odd years ago down in Cornwall. And Eden Project Communities received lottery funding about 14, 15 years ago. And that's when we got established, and we've just been growing ever since. Our main campaign of the year is the Big Lunch, which I'm sure you've heard of because we tout it all the time. So that's our big community get together on the first weekend of June. And that kicks off a whole month of community in June.
And that's so well supported, isn't it? I think, I can't remember the statistics, but you had huge numbers. Was it during like the Jubilee weekend or?
Last, we had the Jubilee two years ago, and last year we had the coronation. We had 17 million participate in the Big Lunch.
Wow, that's incredible. Million.
Yeah, we're not expecting, that's probably, you know, a little less than double. So we're expecting, you know, at least, we're hoping to get 10 million this year, but it all depends on the day and the weekend and the weather and things. But
what's the objectives of the Big Lunch?
The main thing really is to get neighbours talking to each other, to bring neighbours and communities together so that on one day a year they share friendship, food and fun, be part of something bigger. You know, it's big in that it's national. It doesn't have to be massive. Last year, I had just moved into my flat this weekend a year ago. And so I invited on a big lunch weekend, I just invited the four flats in my building to come together for morning tea.
And they did, did they?
They did. I got to introduce them, and it just, you know, it's a scary thing to do, to approach strangers and invite them into your home. But because the big lunch is so established and well-known and Eden's trusted, you know, and we produce beautiful posters and invitations that you can edit for your local event. And it can be as small as having a biscuit and a cup of tea with your neighbour, or you can close your street, or get a whole community together in a park. It's whatever suits you and your environment.
And I think that's a really good point there about it being attached to something bigger, because you often see, like, when people do like fundraising events and stuff, when they do it for big sort of charities or whatever, they feel kind of a lot more safer, don't they, kind of inviting people to come to something that people kind of know what it is. Yeah, it makes you kind of feel, yeah, a lot safer, a lot more confident to be able to invite people. So how did you end up having my dream job? How did that happen?
Well, I have been living in Australia for nearly 30 years, and a whole load of different reasons I decided to come back to the UK. And I initially came back in the COVID year and got stuck here in lockdown. And then I went back to Australia and got stuck in lockdown there. So I felt like I was in lockdown for 2 years. And then I just started the process of looking around for jobs to move back here permanently. And I saw, and I first visited Eden, I think, 9 years ago for the first time, and just completely fell in love and thought, well, this would just be my dream job, to work somewhere like this. So occasionally when I was looking for jobs, I'd hop onto the Eden Project website and I saw this job, and I kept looking and looking and going, I've got those skills, I could do that job. So I applied for it when I was still in Australia, and I got interviewed when the day after I flew in January 2 years ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
interviewed in jet lag. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. I was so fired up about the interview, I didn't even notice the jet lag till afterwards. But
that's
yeah.
Insane. Can you tell us a bit about Eden, the actual Eden Project, either yourself or Kaylee, because you've both been there, obviously.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear Kaylee's experience of camp, actually. So, yeah, the Eden Project, as most people know, is a beautiful environmental charity down in Cornwall. It was created out of an old chalking pit. It's now a forest. It's got a rainforest in the biomes. It's got two biomes of different environments. It's got a whole lot of outdoor planting and space. It's just beautiful. There's projects all year round for kids and families and education and research. And our mission there really is around having healthy people and a healthy planet. And we want to grow a global movement that works with nature to respond to the planetary emergency.
Wow.
And we're growing. So Eden is now, you've probably heard, it's got some work going on in Morecambe in a consultation phase with the community about building a site at Morecambe, doing one in Dundee,
well,
China, Dubai, across the world. They want to Eden on every continent eventually.
So what's the principles behind it? So you build a forest, or you have these plants. Is it kind of a specimens for people to learn and understand, or is it kind of to breed these plants? Like, what's the kind of principles behind the actual plants that you grow?
Yeah, it's fundamentally educational. So it's we take groups of children there a lot. We've got a whole schools program based at Eden. We work with curriculum and things to get lots of lessons to be done outdoors. So it's about connecting people with nature, obviously. But through the biomes, you can track and follow the whole history of our food historically and now. So there's obviously sugar, cocoa. We just last year, for the very first time in the country, I think we grew nutmeg.
Wow.
So it's an amazing experience to walk through it and see all the signage and the development of all the education plans that go with it. So it does, and it instills a real love of plants with children. You can get a lot of quite children who aren't all that interested in nature and think plants might be a bit boring. And after half an hour in the biome, they are really, really excited about plants. I think they're very cool.
That is very cool.
And you've got an absolutely amazing space. I don't think anybody can go there and not go, wow, even if you're not a planty, nature-y type of person. Like, have you ever been, Liz?
I went probably about 12 years ago. I was very poorly, and I also kicked myself that I was probably a bit too much of a knuckle grazer back then to give it what it deserved. And I will forever kick myself. I just kind of went, I just didn't really get it, because I don't think I was where I am now. But I think if I went back now, I don't think I would leave.
I actually didn't want to. It feels like that.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience as well, Kayleigh, because obviously you and Lucy have connected in a different way as well.
Well, I was really, really lucky to get a space on the community camps that you do. You do online versions and in person, don't you? And I was really lucky to get an in-person one. So we got a fully funded place. So they paid for our travel to attend Eden, put up in a hotel, and spent three long, very, very long days at Eden. And I have never, ever been so filled up in my whole entire life than I have been when I went there. I think I've shared so many times, like, I'm not academic. I can't learn in a classroom environment. I can learn kind of from books, but I need that, like, interaction with other people, and I need to be able to, like, hear their stories. And one of the amazing things about Eden is even just going on their website, they are just full of community stories and success stories, like, from across the UK, aren't you? Like, you've got so many things on there that just spark so much creativity in you. Like, you read something and it just makes my brain, like, pop with all this sort of stuff. And I think I'm naturally inside, I think I'm quite a creative person, but on the I can't get it out. And so when I can experience things like this and meet other people that are doing really cool stuff, it really, like, sparks a load of stuff for me. The only downside I would say is I came back really flat afterwards, because I was on such a high this whole weekend that my brain was just popping, that I couldn't then work out what I could do with all of this stuff that was in my head. And that's not a negative review. I think when you have an amazing experience like that, I think that just naturally is what happens, isn't it? I think it's got like a, it has got a proper word, but basically, like, feels like you want to, you got a hangover. That's basically
it's a thing,
what it
isn't
feels
it?
Like.
I think I think it was a lovely look point, the Eden effect.
Yes.
She still has it, and she went to camp years ago.
Yes.
And she still has it. So, and it's actually Laura that brought me into Medway and made all those lovely connections for me, because she reached out when I started in the job and said, come and visit. And so I've been visiting ever since.
And she is a great natural connector. Yeah. Laura is who organises our green drinks and monthly socials here in Raynham. And she is a great connector of people. She organises talks for that event. And yeah, she's a really, really good egg. And she was the one who told me, like, you need to get onto this. And I'm so glad she did, because I think that I learned an awful lot about, it helped shape some of the things that I was thinking about for Raynham, and kind of like how to engage with our community and what we were doing that was good, and also things that were that we could do better on. But it also made me really look at me as a person, and I wasn't expecting that to kind of like get me to just kind of reflect on myself a bit, really. And you've got such an amazing team that are just natural empowerers of people. They poured into everybody that was there. And I can't even think, was there like over 60 people there that weekend?
60 people for
it
camp,
was quite huge. And so they just kind of gave absolutely everything. And then obviously that support then continues, because you do an amazing job at being the coordinator for the Southeast. So connecting all of those dots in this area. But there's other Lucy's, aren't there, around the country that kind of do that for their own area. And then you kind of bring that all into a like a Facebook group where people are able to share ideas. Yeah.
We have local Facebook pages, and we have a national one as well. It's all under Eden Project Communities, if you want to have a look out for us. That's the website with all the resources on it that Kayleigh mentioned, and you'll have lots of stuff on there about lots of stories about what people do. You'll get lots of ideas. We have resources. You can make your own bunting, you can print off invitations.
Your resources are very good.
They're quite lovely, aren't they? I feel amazing to be part of this lovely team, and it does mean we can do bigger things. So our stories are brilliant, because we've got such great PR people. Have a look.
Are you tired of the same old chat about saving the planet? You know, like the reduce, reuse, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's time to shake things up, because season two of the Tread Lightly podcast is here, and we're diving deeper than your recycling bin.
This season, we're talking about community, faith, and yes, even why humans behave so weirdly sometimes when it comes to conversations about the environment.
Oh my gosh, they do. But there's no boring lectures here, so just real talk. Tough questions and a little bit of banter along the way, because
because let's face it, we all need to lighten up when we're trying to save the planet, right?
So if you're ready to stop tiptoeing around some of the big environmental stuff, get real and join the conversations. Come tread lightly with us.
Catch season two of the Tread Lightly podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, like now.
Have you got any standout stories of people kind of locally who've done some really cool projects in the name of Eden?
I would say Gemma Lloyd, who's one of our campers, who came last year. No, you came last year, Kayla. She came the year before, I think. You weren't there with Gemma, were you?
I don't think so.
Malcolm was with Gemma. But she used to live in Tooting and now lives in Bexhill. But there's some people you just don't know where they get the energy to keep going. And I went to an amazing event she had last year, Big Lunch, which was Sew It and Show It. So it was all about repurposing and reusing clothes. And it was just absolutely delightful. They had a clothes swap there. They had a little fashion parade with a competition. The woman who won the competition wore a dress that she had made out of her husband's first wife's bed sheets.
Oh, wow.
From the 70s, you know, it was all like floral browns and oranges and yellows.
That is pretty cool.
It was just someone was there wearing a t-shirt that she'd had for 30 years. I just love that stuff where the community just gets behind an idea and just pulls out all the stops and
celebrates the reusing and repurposing aside from connecting with each other.
That's right, yeah. And Gemma's actually running a bunting workshop for us next week in London.
Amazing.
Again, all repurposed fabric and things like that.
I love stuff
like that. So do most of the projects that people do have some environmental link, or is that not a prerequisite of the...
Most of them do, just because of who Eden is and who it attracts. A lot of what we do is around loneliness. So mostly we want to connect people to each other. And then, you know, like I said, the environmental stuff happens as a consequence of that. But really, yeah, so a lot of our events can just be about well-being and loneliness. But they generally, if we're looking at how to make people feel better, it's being out in nature always does that. And gardening does that. So there's a natural link between all of those activities and food, of course, growing food, sharing food.
And the food. No wonder this was up Kayleigh's street. This is exactly what you talk about all the time, isn't it, Kayleigh? Like... There is no line between community, saving money, connecting people, the environment. They are the same thing. It's like Kayleigh's bread and butter every time we talk, really, isn't it?
I just think that the people like to box stuff off, don't they? Because they like to kind of say, well, it sits in this box. And I think we know just through having like relationships with people in our own town that it isn't always like that. One always bleeds into the other and vice versa. And I think that through having those conversations with people, which is the bit around Eden kind of strengthening communities and building that resilience, I think it comes down to those individual relationships that you build. Like you saying that you invited your four people from your flat to your big lunch, for example. I think people always think that you have to go big, that you have to go big and bold. And actually, some of the most precious moments are made where you have got just two or three of you having a cup of tea together, because you get to chat. You actually get to have those conversations past like, oh yeah, nice weather, oh, postman ain't seen a post. Do you know what I mean? You get past that kind of superficial stuff. And I think that, you know, sometimes going big and bold is wonderful, and I love that, and I love the buzz of those events, and I think that they bring such great stuff. But I also think that the small kind of intimate ones are also where the magic happens, and we just forget that.
You get such strong connections when there's fewer, don't you?
You go
a bit deeper in your conversations, and it gives you a bit more space to do that when you're not covering lots of different topics and lots of different people. I think, yeah, we often get a bit disappointed if our events aren't as well attended as we hope or we think they might be if we've done lots of promotion. But sometimes the small events are just, like you say, they're the gold.
Yeah.
You get the really strong relationships are coming through, and that small stuff, that's the stuff that keeps throughout it all, because you look at the news and it's massively depressing. Just the world, I just fry for the world when I look at the news, but my work brings me in contact amazing people like you every day that are doing litter picks or pocket parks or just something small that means something to them and their community, and it's just beautiful to be a part of that.
And I think when I ever look at any of the things, like the memories that I hold dear since we've started the Rainham Eco Hub, they've all been things that have had meant that I've had a connection with another person. So one of the stories that I will always, always hold dear is bundling over to a train to a climate conversation over into another town and ending up being so disheartened, going to the pub, Liz buying everyone a round of shots, and she accidentally got pulled over by the police on the way home, which was...
I wasn't drunk. I wasn't drinking
shots.
She
wasn't drunk. She wasn't drunk. And she was... It was absolutely... It was fine. And there's a funny story behind it, which we've shared many times. But it's those memories that are really funny, because if you talk to anybody that was there that evening, they had such a good time. And it wasn't necessarily around the climate conversations that we were going there for. It was because we spent time together having a laugh, kind of, do you know what I mean? Just building those connections and those relationships and making them stronger. And it's that stuff that is the magic bit that I think that Eden is so, so good that they... I almost want to say that they were ahead of their time, but I realised that, you know, 20 years ago there was amazing work going on before that. But you look at it now and you kind of think, actually, they were really for the UK.
I don't know.
I've been doing a lot of work and learning about asset-based community development, Lucy. Have you heard of that?
And yes. We've got some resources, actually, I can share with you.
Have you? I would love that because there's a few projects here that we're trying to get the wonderful Cormac Russell to come and speak to. And I've been reading a lot of that, and I just think, actually, that's the sort of stuff that you guys are doing. You are going right down to a local level and getting people to understand those principles of how to make strong connections with people. And you're doing it in such a beautiful way that I just, even now, just will cheerlead you forevermore. So I can completely understand how Laura's got her enthusiasm and stuff. But I wonder, what kind of stuff is on the horizon for Eden? So you said that you got like your other, they want a site on every continent and kind of, where did you say, was it Morecambe that they're going to build a new one?
Morecambe's the latest one, yes.
And would that have
the... Can you put a word in for Rainham? Get one down here.
I'm trying.
Well, there is the Blue Water thing linked to that Eden project, or is that completely separate?
To be honest, I'm afraid I don't know, but the Morecambe project is going to be kind of ocean-based because it's going to be right on the beach. So obviously we'll be looking at coastal erosion, healthy water, clean water, those sorts of things will be... the form of the research, whereas Eden is very much a garden in Cornwall. So this will be much more coastal.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Is it going to have a different focus? That's really lovely, actually. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And the one in Dundee is going to be on the site of an old industrial estate. So that, again, will be something different, what you can do in an industrial location as well.
That's really interesting. That's useful, though, as well, because not everybody's got the space and the setup in Cornwall. So it makes sense that you...
And it's a long way, isn't it?
I've sworn I will never go back to Cornwall because I was so poorly all the way home from Cornwall. You've got a thing where... I've always said I can't do that journey again. It took me a whole day to get back from Cornwall when I went.
Heidi and I know all about that, don't we, Kayleigh?
Oh, my life.
When we went to camp, it was the train strike, so we had to drive. And I hired a car and picked some people up. And then I was really, really sick. And Kayleigh did all the driving. Bless her.
Well, no, not bless me. Bless you. I was literally... I prayed for you that whole way, Lucy. Like, please don't let her, like... just keel over in this car. I don't know.
I knew someone was poorly. I hadn't known it was you, Lucy. Oh, God. You've got no choice, though. You have to go back to Cornwall. Whereas I still, 12 years on, I'm still traumatised from that journey back from Cornwall. So you are right. It's good to spread.
But saying that, Lucy basically still bossed out the whole weekend, even though you were so ill. I honestly don't know how you ploughed through, but you did. I'm really
because the thing is, you can't just go leave me on the side of the road and I'll just pick up a cab and see you later because you're in the middle of nowhere, aren't
you? That's right. Crazy.
We'll swap this in sickness in Cornwall stories on another occasion because, I hear you and I'm sorry.
It's really difficult sometimes to know what people's jobs entail in terms of, like, you know, when you see, you're a coordinator for this, you know, for the Southeast and stuff. But being able to just have, like... a proper conversation to say, this is kind of what it looks like. This is what I do. Yeah, it's been really enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. But please, anyone listening, get involved, join us, check out our Eden Project Communities website, sign up for a big lunch, contact me under Meet the Team. I'm always happy to talk to anyone about the projects they're doing in community, however small.
That's so wonderful. Can we just say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what you do? And I know you're going to roll your eyes at this and go, I don't really do much, there's a whole big team, but without people like you, it's actually really difficult sometimes to continue doing stuff within your own community, which most people do in their own free time, of their own free will.
Exactly.
And because they love it, they do it because they love it. But having cheerleaders like you to be able to just, I know, like call up or email or say, you know, do you know this? Do you know this? It has been so beneficial to us and we are so, so grateful to you. So thank you for all that you do.
I'm delighted to hear it. Yeah, the network is a very special thing where you can connect with others and get support. So yes, we know that a lot of people need that support when they're doing a lot for their community for no reward really, other than personal and environmental benefit.
So thank you. And thank you so much for talking to us today. It's been really, really enjoyable.
That's it for today's episode of the Tread Lightly podcast. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and maybe, like Hayley and myself, even picked up a new perspective along the way.
If you did, do not keep it to yourself. You need to give us a like, rate the podcast and share it with somebody who needs to hear it. And of course, follow us on all of our social media, which is hilarious because we are on LinkedIn, TikTok, oh my gosh, Facebook and Instagram. And you can also stay in the loop for more episodes and updates. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, keep treading lightly.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.